TNT Radio wants you to get on our soapbox because your opinion matters. Tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox, lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. You're with Mike Ryan on today's News Talk Radio. TNT.
Okay, looking at the what's happening around Australia. First of all, can't stand the publication, but there's not much else around there that takes a general snapshot of Australia. And the girl that was hit by the roller coaster at the Royal Melbourne Show, and all terrible, terrible stories about the poor girl, and she was in a coma. Just very, very bleak indeed. Anyway, she's woken up, which is absolutely amazing. It means there is a good news story. And we all look for that at times because my wife says to me, we deal too much in death and destruction and things that are on the horizon. So here's a very good story. This is a good story. The family of a woman critically injured when a roller coaster struck her at the Royal Melbourne Show have been delivered some shocking news, but great news, that she woke up. Now, it's not over yet. Still a long way to go. But man, oh man, that is good news. What isn't good news is, because I love my cricket, some say too much. I love it, love my sport, love the footy. Side can't win a game, but they look good. but also in cricket, though. Now, what about this? How pathetic, how astonishingly bad the Aussie cricket team, for the first time down under, the Australian Test team has taken a knee before the first ball of a series. That is disgusting, disgraceful. They should hang their heads in shame. And it shows you that a bunch of whackers, and the ACB, the Australian Cricket Board, a bunch of whackers taking the knee. So I don't wish them any sort of bad luck. I'd like to see David Warner score some big, big runs. But fair dinkum. Taking a knee, that is not what Australia is all about. We are not about this garbage crap, this wokeism. Play cricket, play your sport, do it well. That is all you have to do. That's why you paid the big bucks, not to make a political stance. Just disgraceful. A lesson there from they actually need to go and sit down with an adult, and an adult will tell them and probably give them a box in the ears, just grow up. For the Australian male team, develop some gonads. Just disgraceful. Play cricket, do a great job of that as you do most of the time, but don't become political. Leave the wokeism alone. And speaking about crazy things, James O'Neill, one of our intrepid news hounds, reports that Tim Cook says he's ready to pull Twitter from the App Store once President Xi gives the order. James, tell us more.
Thanks, Mike. Apple CEO Tim Cook confirmed this morning that he's prepared to remove the Twitter app from the App Store, but that he's waiting for orders from CCP President Xi before he makes a move. I never make a business decision without first consulting the great and magnificent President Xi. Blessings on his name, said Cook in a statement. My company lives to serve the People's Republic of China and the Chinese Communist Party, and I will resign myself to his divine will. If he gives the order, Twitter will be gone from the App Store. Cook emphasized, however, that the popular Chinese spy and child exploitation app TikTok will always have a platform in the App Store. TikTok is an essential tool for advancing Chinese interests around the world and for protecting my cheap slave labor in the country. It will never be removed. Chinese authorities have thanked Cook for a statement and promised to have updated orders for the tech company within a week. At publishing time, Google claimed they were not beholden to China in any way, but they would do whatever Apple did. Back to you, Mike.
And all we have here are Macs all over the place. Again, pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. But at least it's done in the open, and they don't give a rat's. Now, do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or peaceful protest, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out on TNT Radio.
Elon Musk, who's not from the...
That's not it. You know, sometimes things just don't work. But anyway, who cares? On the 25th of November, the Land Court of Queensland blocked Waratah's coal thermal coal project on the grounds of climate change and human rights concerns. The court has stated that human-induced climate change is caused by greenhouse emissions. But what does the science tell us? A budding scientist, a man who knows much about the world and all things. Why is it so, Jeremy?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It's certainly not science, this nonsense. You look at the history of climate over the millions and millions of years. We've gone through cycles. CO2 levels have been much, much higher even when we've gone into ice ages. So this ruling is quite disturbing. It's a ruling between the parties of Waratah Coal versus the Youth Verdict Limited. And I went to the Youth Verdict website and they state, "We are a group of young people in Queensland fighting for a future where we can thrive in a healthy planet." And they say they are led by our First Nations members. "We successfully objected to Clive Palmer's Waratah coal mine on the grounds that its contribution to climate change will breach the cultural rights of First Nations peoples to preserve, practice, and evolve culture due to shifting seasons, rising sea levels, and increasingly extreme weather events." Makes me want to vomit. This is just absolute nonsense. But it's obviously clearly well organized, well funded. Teenagers and young adults do not have this kind of organization for legal cases. It's obviously run by bigger players than that. Now, the court document, the judgment, is 372 pages long. I've just downloaded it from the Land Court of Queensland. And it's important because it considers the alleged effects of the exportation of coal on climate change in the importing countries. The Land Court of Queensland adheres and determines matters relating to land and natural resources. And if it sets a ruling like this, it sets a precedent, and who knows what other courts in Australia will do. So it is a concern because they are talking about, in this ruling, they say climate change was a key issue. It was noted confidently in the ruling, human-induced climate change is caused by greenhouse gas emissions, most importantly carbon dioxide, which is emitted when thermal coal is combusted. So that's just straight out of the court ruling. They just assume it all. They say that that the Paris Agreement, it sets a long-term global temperature goal of well below 2 degrees Celsius, 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, above the pre-industrial level at 2100, with the ambition of keeping that temperature to 1.5 degrees Celsius above that level. And this is the court document just spews out this garbage. And, you know, they cite the Environmental Protection Act of 1994 and the Human Rights Act of 2019 in the judgment. And it's just concerning that they're swallowing all this propaganda. There's no science to it, Mike.
No, none. Australia's richest person has warned that net zero will crumble to unachievable without a strong and healthy mining industry. I heard some activists just drop on the road there. Fantastic. Gina Rinehart, who holds a $34 billion mining-based fortune, that's US, by the way, has topped the Australian Financial Review Rich List for 3 years, said electricity touches pretty well everything we need and mining will be essential for making solar panels and electric vehicles and creating wind power. The billionaire cited a finding from the International Energy Agency, the IEA, that a typical electric car requires 6 times the mineral inputs of a conventional car, and an onshore wind plant requires 9 times more mineral resources than a gas-fired plant of the same capacity. So she's saying you need mining. But looking at that, a typical electric car requires 6 times the mineral inputs of a conventional car, and an onshore wind plant requires 9 times more mineral resources than a gas-fired plant of the same capacity. Why would we be going down the path of the green road, Jeremy?
Only because it's all about resource control, population control, and certain vested interests. They can make some money out of it, but overall, it makes us poorer. And the science of it shows that it won't do anything for the environment. It actually will harm the environment. And there's a lot of people sucked into this. It's like a religion, Mike. Mm. It's crazy. But they believe in it, and political parties pander to the ideology. It's like a groupthink. And unfortunately, there are not enough people saying this is crazy, this is going to destroy our economy. There are a few, we're among them, but too many people just have no idea of how serious this is and how an economy running on so-called renewables is a destroyed economy.
Yeah, well, she also says that Australia's cost of living crises was due to greenflation caused by the old but true demand and supply principle, a lack of investment and consequent supply as a result of government's green pandering policies, while demand increases. And green policies demand that we increase the use of minerals guzzling solar and wind energy and electric vehicles globally, while simultaneously restricting coal mining, uranium, gas fracking, and policies effectively discouraging investment in new supplies. They've said that there is not enough rare earth minerals for electric cars for the populations of the world. So if that's the case, and I don't disbelieve that, what happens to us? Do we have to get on an electric bus, on that electric train, on that, I would say, electric bike, but we can have a bike and pedal around? What happens, though, to air travel? Mm. I mean, you can't have an electric jet. It'd be terrible halfway across the ocean, and you realize that the batteries say zero.
Air travel is really not practical without the hydrocarbons. You know, you're not going to have a nuclear-powered aeroplane, and that's just not practical. And also the batteries are just too damn heavy for an aeroplane, so that's not practical. There have been some solar-powered planes, but they're just really very, very lightweight things that don't go very fast, and they're just useless. So it's just not going to happen.
Maybe hot air balloons, but look at the Hindenburg. That was not a great trip. Went down in flames in more ways than one. But here's the thing, though. These are the greenies, how they, you know, we're going to save the planet. But the elite, they're allowed to hop in their private jets, or, you know, they'll have the very wealthy and the very elitist, plus the privileged, will be able to hop onto commercial flights, which will be very expensive. But however, they can afford it. For others who will have nothing but will be happy, it's the bike or the or you use your feet. I mean, it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And when they start to bring all these things in, we know that all this green energy nonsense is going to end up in tears throughout the world. Look at Australia. I mean, let's close down all the coal-fired power stations. They would love to do that right now and then say, okay, we're clever, we're humans, we can create something that hasn't even been thought of to create the energy that you need. So I don't see a very good future for Australia at the moment. But Maybe that's what they want, Jeremy.
Oh, it's all about enslavement. I don't see any of this really happening in full scale, this green utopia, because it's just scientifically just unachievable. They will go partway there, and they already have gone partway there, and they'll keep blundering along and pushing it further. We will probably have more electric vehicles and more wind turbines and more of this and that, a bit of tinkering around with hydrogen. But it will be shown to be a complete failure. Future civilizations will have to clean up the mess, live in poverty, and hopefully that will awaken up the next generation and we'll get back to some sanity. But it's going to take a bit of time, I think.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what happens though, because they seem to be going full steam ahead on windmills and solar power and getting rid of all the traditional energy sources that we have. They have to, if they are serious about it, you've got to do some major changes to the infrastructure. Have you seen anything in your area resembling some sort of change to the infrastructure?
Nothing significant. There's a few token electric charging stations here and there, not very much, just a few token things. That it's nothing. And it's just not going to happen on a large scale. And I see that we're in for an economic real hard time over many years. It's not going to bounce back because once you get rid of a coal-fired power station, it takes years to build this infrastructure up, and it's just not going to come back in 6 months or a couple of years. So it's going to get tougher, and hopefully that wakes enough people up so we can escape long-term enslavement.
No, that's not going to happen. You and I will be hiding. We have some jungles up here. You can hide there with the pythons and you'll be as happy because you'll have nothing. Jeremy Beck, thank you very much. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's Timothy Shea.
CBS News, and I'm using that term very sarcastically, has just admitted after 2 years of lying.
Oh, yeah. Hunter Biden's laptop? Yeah, that story's real.
We all knew they were lying. The only people who didn't think they were lying were the mush-minded, mouth-breathing morons that believe everything their TV says. You know the type.
Wear your mask!
All of a sudden, these genderqueer theory majors and English majors and history majors were virologists.
Wear your mask! Do it for others! You're selfish! You want people to die!
Shut up, Karen. We were right. They were wrong about everything. They were wrong about masks. They were wrong about social distancing. And they've not only been wrong about these mRNA injections. My opinion is that they weren't mistaken. They acted with malice aforethought. They knew these things were poison. They did it for power and for profit, just like they lied about Hunter Biden's laptops.
The Timothy Shea Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life, made possible by an organ donor.
Your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
90% of parents still say no thanks to COVID-19 shots for their young children. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
At their recent meeting, G20 leaders discussed action to address global food insecurity, the climate crisis, rising energy prices, rising inflation, and the cost of living pressures. Unfortunately, they are all problems that the G20 psychopaths you know, government have created and are compounding with their suicidal policies. You'll have nothing, but you'll be very happy. Unfortunately, we keep voting most of these people back into power. We didn't vote for Klaus. He just pops up in this new country of Davos, goes to all the COP27, G20, B20. What other vitamins are there? Anyway, he's just a raving lunatic. Very dangerous person. His main weapon is gullibility. And look at the governments. Oh, Klaus, can I hop into your pocket? Oh, let me hold your hips. Now, our regular guest, John Parsons, is just a magnificent person. Apparently, he'll be in the next James Bond film. Maybe not. But John describes himself as the best-looking, undereducated biologist. He is an avid researcher on COVID-19, a rock expert, and other dastardly projects being foisted on unsuspecting citizens. I need some music for you, but I haven't got any. John, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah, it's you were on the other day. Not a whole lot's happened in the last couple of days. The world is still here. Dr. Jordan Peterson was on with Rita Panahi. I want to play you this.
They abdicate responsibility to idiot opinion polls, and so they stupidly sample public whim and then craft their policy to magnify their attractiveness to that whim. It's so appalling. I know perfectly well that that's what crafted COVID policy in Canada during the pandemic. It wasn't science. I know the people who were advising the people who were making the policies. It's like, was any of that science? No, it was all opinion poll. It's like, what? Really? Yeah, it was all opinion poll.
But does that scare you that there's that polling would show that these illiberal policies, the human rights breaches were so popular?
Yeah, well, people were afraid and they stampeded, you know. And what happened was we fall prey to the first actor phenomena. So there was a pandemic and it was an unbound problem. How serious is this? No one knows. So it's an apocalypse, right? An apocalypse, I suppose, is a problem of unspecifiable significance. It's a new apocalypse. What do we do about that? Everything we can. What does that mean? Well, we don't know. So then the Chinese totalitarians act first. Lock everyone down. It's like, oh, we better lock everyone down. Brilliant. You know, have you looked at the death tolls in Sweden during the pandemic? They're among the lowest in the European Union.
And right? Their excess deaths down. Are
well,
much better.
Have, that's right. They don't have excess deaths because they didn't destroy their healthcare system, not stopping the pandemic. Mm. Yeah, it's appalling. It's appalling. It was another indication of the collapse of sophisticated policymaking into a virtue signaling unidimensional problem. It's like, it's all about COVID. It's like, yeah, really, not heart disease, not cancer, not chronic illness, not the socialization of children, not the education of children, not the supply chain, not in the maintenance of the economy, not unemployment, not the ballooning of the debt, none of that. It's just COVID right now. And isn't it so interesting that because it's just COVID, we get all the power? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, excuse me if I'm a bit skeptical of your motivation.
Now, I hear in the background, Crypto, Rita go, and he was saying that, talking about how Sweden didn't have any excess deaths, and Rita's going, I recall that, what's that show called, The Unwatchables? What's it called? The show on a Sunday morning. It's unwatchable because they're hypocrites.
Untouchables?
Or whatever it is.
What are unthinkables.
And stinkables, by the way. But just they had... it's with that bearded guy. I can't think of his name. He was filling in for Rowan. And they had Peter McCullough on. And it was a disgrace. The way they treated Peter McCullough when he came on and they poo-pooed him, all his stuff about COVID. Oh, yeah. Vaccines. They're safe. Yeah. Not lockdowns, but all the other terrible, terrible social dysfunctional issues that were plonked onto, to people in Australia. And he was up in arms against it and provided science to, you know, just to debunk the whole damn lot. They poo-pooed him. So when I hear Rita going on with this absolute garbage, I mean, she is a hypocrite. And so is the, what are they called? I can't think of the name now. Anyway, I used to watch it all the time, and I just went right off them because they were hypocrites. They just went along with the, you know, with the narrative. They were paid off by the government because look at Murdoch. Murdoch runs that station, and then Nine also run it. I mean, they were just pathetic. And then she goes, yes, and talks to Jordan Peterson. Anyway, what do you think, by the way?
Well, the whole of the mainstream media, is they're all individuals, maybe Rita or all the rest of them on Sky News or whatever. They're all individuals. So they all have a soul, they have a heart, they have a brain, they're supposed to be intelligent people. None of them can think like they're portraying. They must be lying to us. They must be pretending to not agree. Because what Jordan Peterson's saying is now fact. What Peter McCullough was saying was his opinion then, which has turned out to be fact now. And we should say, oh, look, we were wrong. We should have listened. We have to go back. Imagine if we had just let this thing alone like Sweden. Imagine if we had not done this. And imagine if we'd not poisoned ourselves with this stuff. That's what we should be hearing from our mainstream media now. We were wrong. We got it wrong. We should be big enough to admit it. And nah, they're just sort of still going along with the brainwashing. And like Jordan said, they took opinion polls. Well, if you brainwash the people before you go and ask them the question, you're going to get the answer you want. That's how they've planned this. That's how they've done this. They've put out the terror. And like, you know, like when I see something like this, when this first happened, I thought, well, this is going to be exciting. This is going to be something new in the world. What are we... It's going to be a bit of a challenge, and that's my attitude towards most everything, actually. And yet some people are like, oh, my God, the sky is falling. Well, you know, I'll admit when it first came out, I thought this was a serious thing. And I thought, well, not that it had the effect that it was meant to have on me. It's a serious thing. How do we conquer this challenge? But to go down the road they went was all about, like Jordan said, all about control, all about power. We've handed over all of our rights, and we've got nothing in return. We've lost so much, and we've gained nothing. We've got poison in us. There's 80% of the population that are seriously worried, and so they should be about whether something is going to happen to them in the future. I said to you a long time ago that it was a bold statement, and I thought about it afterwards. I said everyone that's jabbed has got an issue. That's how serious this is. This stuff is poison. Everyone that's jabbed has got an issue. How we get around that, I don't know. But we must, these people that are telling people by the TV screen how to think and how to behave and what the story is, that's what a lot of people rely on for the information. If they're going to stay there and say things or ridicule people as smart as this, they're part of it.
Yeah,
they're absolutely part of it, and they're responsible for what happens. They're not just players.
I agree. I think they're terrible. By the way, the show was The Outsiders, should be retitled The Unwatchables, just terrible. They were, or The Despicables. I mean, here they are pretending to be on the side of freedom, absolute blatant liars. My guest is John Parsons. His friends call him Crypto. A doctor in LA calls him Crapto. And we have our news now, I believe. This is TNT Radio.
What time is it?
Now, TNT Radio News.
You know what time it is?
Yeah. Time to read some news.
Matt Boyland here with your TNT headlines. The world's largest active volcano is erupting on Hawaii's Big Island for the first time in almost 40 years. Officials and business leaders are gathering in Iran for a forum on strengthening economic ties with Russia. There's been a close call between a Chinese and US warship in the South China Sea, and it's been revealed mental health issues are surging among children and teenagers in England following extensive COVID lockdowns.
Do you have an upcoming community event, rally, march, festival, or fundraiser that could do with some free publicity? TNT Radio wants to promote it for you. Simply visit the What's On Events calendar on the TNT Radio website and submit your event details, and we'll get the word out, helping you make a difference on TNT Radio.
Okay, there's a great interview is on the War Room, and Ed Dowd said, it's very obvious now that from day one, China was the model that American officials wanted to follow, wanted to emulate. I'll just play that, John.
The direction of China's economy and particularly the impact on our audience, sir.
Bottom line, demographics is destiny. And I can't emphasize enough that China hit its demographic wall in 2020 and they're in a population decline. And that's going to reverberate throughout their whole economy. It's going to affect their debt that they've accumulated. And they're going to be looking at a couple lost decades like Japan did in the 90s. That will affect us, obviously, because a lot of the global growth came from China. And you talked about one of our greatest exports was dollars. Well, after the great financial crisis, we exported a ton of dollars to China in the form of debt. Chinese corporations and whatnot, issue debt in dollar denomination. So this is a disaster looming. As the dollar goes higher, it puts more pressure on some of the Chinese corporations that issued debt in dollars. So this is going to have knock-on effects. We're going into recession in Q1 and Q2. It's a global synchronized recession. We haven't seen one of these since 2008. And it's going to affect the world for years to come. We're predicting recoveries and recessions, much like the 70s. We're in a period of stagflation. Wow. We think there's going to be a deflationary pressure coming sometime next year, end of 2023. Then they'll print more money, then the inflation, then deflation. So the central banks are fighting the end of the monetary debt system as we know it. So this is going to affect the U.S. It's going to affect the globe. What's going on in China has serious implications for the rest of us.
Yeah, so it's sort of all unraveling, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it's a depression coming, not a recession. Without what's just happened in China now, which is going to really turn the crank up, because I don't believe those demonstrations are going to succeed. I believe their facial recognition, their social credit system, even Apple's helping the government find the perpetrators of this horrible thing called having a bit of speech and going throwing a paper around. So they're in real trouble. And if you want to know what those camps were built for, well, you're about to see. Now, are people going to still buy an iPhone in America when they find out that there's blood all over it? Are they going to buy Chinese junk when they realise they're going to be another Tiananmen Square where they created a lot of track grease for their tanks? Are we going to have another Uyghur situation, Tibet situation, Falun Gong situation where all these people are locked up and harvested? That's what's going to happen to those people. I fear for them. I think it's terrible. But it's also going to have this economic effect, what he was talking about. They're going to lose the production. We're not going to want to buy as much. Companies are going to move out of there and establish in back in America. And, of course, that's going to double the cost of some things. So we're going to see inflation from that. But we're going to see, as Australia, they're not going to need as much as iron ore. Maybe the other places will to compensate. So maybe we'll find new markets in Vietnam and maybe even somewhere else. But and then you've got the European situation. I reckon we're really heading for the worst economic calamity we've ever seen. And is it created? Is this China model that we're talking about? Is it the reason? Is it behind it? You know, I've said how many times to you, I don't believe in coincidence. Well, there's more coincidences in this whole scenario that's going on right now, like that they let these demonstrations start, or they helped create these demonstrations, or whatever. They built those camps beforehand. They're not for COVID. If you want to treat people COVID, tell them to stay home. Like, it is, there's no advantage in taking away from home and putting them in these camps. You mix them all up together in the bus and let them all out in a pile and they all go into the little rooms. You know, they infect people if they're not infected. They just by what they're doing, standing in line to get their swab every day. It doesn't make sense. So I just think there's,
you know, conspiracy. You know, it's coincidence. There's something going on here that's bigger than Ben-Hur, and China is the chosen model. You know, like Canada raves about it. Klaus Schwab idolizes it. And let's face it, we're about to see how well it works. We're about to see the face of recognition, social credit score, capture those people, squash that demonstration, lock those people up, and take their kidneys. I just think the whole thing's a mess, and the economic ramifications for us as Australia, who I'm worried about.
But what about all the... it's really, really interesting how it was Russia, and all sorts of other things, and now it's sort of refocused on China. But having said that, you wonder what the whether it's just a controlled narrative at the moment, which it probably is. I'll play this from Tucker Carlson.
Protesters even calling for President Xi to step down.
Protests also breaking out at college campuses in the communist country. This after 10 people were killed in an apartment fire last week.
Alexandria Hoff is following the developments, and she's got more. Alexandria?
Good morning to you. People have just had enough there. They've reached a breaking point to a shocking degree and are now showcasing extraordinary acts of defiance. The fiery deaths of those 10 people in Urumqi have come to symbolize the chokehold that the communist government has enforced through isolation. Social media users claim that the restrictions, the COVID restrictions, caused a delay in putting out that fire. And in that city, millions have lived under strict COVID lockdowns for more than 100 days. Protests have erupted in cities and college campuses now throughout the country. Pieces of blank white paper are being used or held up to represent that the way the people there are censored. In Shanghai, police have been seen shoving demonstrators who have been gathering in roadways and calling for an end to movement restrictions and repeated COVID tests. But most shockingly, chants were reported that demand President Xi Jinping step down. It's a rare show of disobedience prompted by nearly 3 years of intermittent lockdowns under China's zero COVID policy. The strategy has been tested, and critics point to the social and economic toll of lockdowns as being more costly than the benefit of trying to contain a virus that really cannot be contained. Shanghai residents are still reeling from 2 months spent completely locked down in the spring. While there has been talk from officials about potentially easing COVID zero policies, it appears the communist government instead is doubling down. The National Health Commission is reporting a new record high case count, so lockdowns are once again being expanded. Now, in the same city where iPhone factory workers clashed with police last week, a new order has been given to over 6.6 million people, could be closer to 12 million people, that they must stay home now through Tuesday. Guys.
And then Tucker Carlson had this to say.
Here's something that we didn't know but now do. In the winter of 2020, Tony Fauci wanted to know how the Chinese Communist Party was responding to COVID. They had COVID, we had COVID, and he wanted to see what they were doing. So he sent one of his deputies, a man called Clifford Lane, to China to find out. And Lane seemed stunned by what he saw there. Entire Chinese cities had been quarantined, the whole city. Huge numbers of people were forcibly locked inside their own homes, in some cases to starve to death. Secret police cruised the streets, forcing pedestrians into windowless vans for the crime of being outside. Household pets, dogs and cats, were declared unclean and beaten to death on the sidewalk. It was a hellish dystopian scene. So Lane returned to the US to tell Tony Fauci what he'd seen there. But Tony Fauci was not disgusted. He was not appalled by the human rights abuses that Clifford Lane had seen in China. According to a new report in the Epoch Times, based on depositions that emerged this month, Tony Fauci was envious. This is what we have to do in the U.S., Fauci told Lane. So it's very obvious now that from day one, China was the model that American officials, public health officials, were using to respond to COVID here. And in fact, it still is the model. And in fact, lockdowns are still happening in China. They never really ended. And our public health officials have never stopped applauding those lockdowns. In April of this year, the Chinese government shut down Shanghai. Shanghai is the largest city in China. It's one of the biggest cities in the world. Shanghai has a population three times that of New York City, 25 million people. And all of those people, all 25 million, are now suffering indefinite lockdown. Shanghai is the largest prison camp in human history. So why is the Chinese government doing this to its biggest city? Well, no honest person believes it has anything to do with public health, because it doesn't, provably. As of Sunday, yesterday, there were no COVID deaths reported in China. a nation of nearly 1.5 billion people, not one COVID death. So COVID is not a threat to the Chinese government. Political unrest, however, is a threat to the Chinese government, always has been, and that's the point. In China, as in the United States, COVID policy is not a public health matter. COVID policy is a tool of social control. COVID policy is a way for the people in charge to strip from their population the most basic civil liberties and remain in charge. That's very clear, and that's exactly why our leaders support what's happening in China tonight, because they'd like to see it happen here too.
So there you are. That's Tucker Carlson. And what he says is, and the report before from Fox, what they say is perfectly, it's exactly how it is. It's not about health. Climate change is not about our well-being. Digital ID is not about your security. It's about control, isn't it, John?
Oh, you know, we've said this, that the China model since day one. We've talked about it, use those exact words. It's, and also they get to weed out, you know, the you and me that would be standing up there with a piece of paper. We'll be gone, you know. Like, the ones that have got enough guts to stand up, they're the ones that they'll grab now. They'll grab the ones that were the leaders. They'll grab the ones that are the participants. They'll grab anyone. When Tiananmen Square thing, and the ones that didn't run over the tanks, they grabbed them. They shot them. They removed the bullet from them. They took the bullet to the parents, and they presented it to the parents as a souvenir of their rebellious child that's just got shot. That's the sort of depth that they go to. They don't just do something. They follow it up down the track with impactual, like propaganda, but that's beyond propaganda. So those people that have been on these demonstrations, there's either got to be 10 times as many people come out this week, all those people are missing. It's that serious. And of course, how will I react? Well, like I said last week, I want to run a key up the side of a Great Wall Ute every time I want to see it, so to give a Queensland panel beater a bit of work. I hate things from China, and people are going to hate them more after this. So are we going to buy things from China? Well, not unless I bloody well have to. And, you know, so therefore it's going to be an economic cascade down the slide. And I think they want that. I think half of what they're doing over there is they're locked down specific cities which produce things. Like, where are we going to get our medicine? Everyone said we're going to get it from India. But the base of the antibiotics, the base of all the heart medicine, the cancer medicine, comes from China, goes across to India, gets mixed together, turned into tablets and punched out and sent to the world. So just because they say it's from India, they still need the base products from China. So they're going to starve us for all of our necessities by doing this, and I think that's what they want. They want to starve off what they've done. At the same time, we're depleting our army, our resources, you know, like we haven't got any ammunition. Europe's spent blowing all their ammunition. We're really in a strangely depleted situation. And energy is life, energy is economy, energy is initiative, creates, and yet we're going to try and build a new thing outside of China. What are we going to power it with? We can't ask Europe to produce anything. They're shutting all the factories down. I think it is a coincidental mess. I said some time ago, who could be smart enough to organise this? You're sure AI hasn't been running this show for the last 10 years and come up with this idea to get rid of the non-necessary humans, us?
Us. I'm necessary, and you are, because you're a rock expert. Look, don't go away. I've got some more to play. I've got something from PayPal, which will be, let me tell you, hugely interesting. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
You know, you can't make this up. There's major cold coming to Europe, meaning the U.S. has to export a lot of LNG to try to cover for them. People in the United States are already seeing their electricity prices and heating bills skyrocket as the cold wave, though expected by Weather Bell in November, and the December cold wave are beginning to take their toll. It's not December yet, but there's major cold coming. But here we go. The Biden administration is starting a new plan to create certified, responsibly sourced natural gas. This will carry a much higher price tag for Americans to heat homes and businesses as well as generate electricity. Power costs will undoubtedly rise. The certified responsibly sourced natural gas comes with higher costs due to a much more difficult and expensive process to ensure it's produced with lower carbon emissions to fight climate change. How will people be able to afford their utility bills? God have mercy on the United States and the rest of the world that's going to be miserable this holiday season. Whoever is designing this policy is a wrecking machine. This is meteorologist Joe Bastardi, TNT's climate and weather watchdog, asking you to enjoy the weather despite all this. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
While the mainstream media peddles fear, thousands of prominent scientists are speaking out despite a near blackout in the mainstream media. For example, CLINTEL was founded in 2019 by Emeritus Professor of Geophysics Gus Berghout and science journalist Marcel Kroc. This global network of 900 scientists and professionals make the point that CO2 is not a pollutant. It is essential to all life on Earth. Photosynthesis is a blessing. More CO2 is beneficial for nature, greening the Earth. Additional CO2 in the air has promoted growth in global plant biomass. It is also good for agriculture, increasing the yields of crops worldwide.
Brace yourselves immediately.
Be a part of the conversation and follow TNT Radio on Gab, Getter, and Twitter.
We can all learn something from that.
TNT Radio.
And my guest is...
And follow TNT Radio on Gab, Getter, and Twitter.
We can all learn something from that.
TNT Radio.
And my guest is John Parsons, crypto, or in the States, crypto, from Sabine. John, I'm going to play this here from, this is PayPal co-founder David Sachs, and he I won't play the whole thing, it goes for a bit too long, but he exposes the collusion between big tech and the DC Uni Party as Apple threatens to thwart free speech by just removing Twitter from their app store.
But in the meantime, we are very happy to be joined by David Sachs. He's one of the founders of PayPal. He spent the last 25 years as a major figure in the tech world and has been watching very carefully what's happening with Elon Musk after the acquisition of Twitter. David Sachs, thanks so much for coming on. So,
good to be here, Tucker.
If Apple did this, it seems like it would effectively destroy Twitter as the force that it currently is. That would be an abuse of monopoly power. I think everyone would agree. What can be done to stop that?
Well, yeah, I agree with you, Tucker, that, you know, what Apple is doing in China is not that different from what Apple is doing in the U.S. They are willing to engage in censorship on a global basis on behalf of their true paymasters. And by paymasters, I don't mean consumers. Apple has them completely locked up. What I mean is the party in power, whether that's in Beijing or Washington. This is the quid pro quo that MAGA Democrats have made. Of course, by MAGA Democrats, I'm referring to Microsoft, Apple, Google, and Amazon. They have the most lucrative monopolies in history and want to continue minting money undisturbed. And in exchange for that, they will donate lavishly to the Democratic Party, and they're willing to kneecap their political opponents with censorship if that's what the party in power requires.
You know, the traditional libertarian position on this, which I ascribed to for many years, I'll just say it, was that, you know, the First Amendment protects Americans from having their speech hampered by the government, okay? But all speech takes place online at this point. We know that there are direct connections between the tech companies and the government currently in power. They're censoring people the direction of the U.S. government. So really, if you censor Twitter, you're eliminating my right to speak freely as an American, which is a constitutional problem. So why can't someone take action against this?
Tucker, I think you're right. I mean, what's basically happened here is that the government has found a kind of loophole in the First Amendment. The First Amendment is stated it only applies to government, to Congress. But if the government can basically get big tech to do its censorship for it, it can claim that this was done by private actors. The problem is that the town square has been privatized. When content got digitized, it got centralized in the hands of a few big tech companies. And the problem here, though, is that these big tech companies aren't just acting on their own. They're acting, you know, at the behest of the government in Washington. And, you know, whether it's the Biden administration or various senators on the Judiciary Committee, they have suggested to these companies that their monopolies might be broken up if they don't take down more content. And so big tech has gotten the message. They want their monopolies to continue undisturbed. They want to keep minting money. And so they are responding by practicing the censorship.
So there you are, John. And it's the same right around the world, in the UK and in Australia. Big tech, which is still most of it, actually almost all of it, derived from the US. But the best way to shut everybody down is to just censor the hell out of them, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, look, they're indirect arms of government. And that indirect 6 degrees of separation is probably only 2 degrees of separation, because it's money and power. There's the 2 degrees. Now, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, so okay, that only applies to government institutions, as he said. Well, what do you call these things if they're not? They might be private companies, but they're controlled by the government bribing them, or them, you know, crawling up the government. So to get favour, so we'll do this for you if you give us the freedom to do this, or the we'll build factories here and employ so many people, and we'll do this, and we'll work for you, and you work for us, and it's all a big happy family. Mm. You know, it's corruption, and the government is using these people, and Elon's a perfect example. He must be in danger in a number of ways, you know, because he's actually offering us something that we should have had by law. Like, it's by the American Constitution, that freedom of the press. Yep. But he's been removed by that 2 degrees of separation, by the competition that he's got. When are people going to wake up to saying, well, I don't really want an Apple, and, you know, like, can I buy something else? Or,
well, you can't.
If he wants to produce his own phones, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah,
I'll buy one.
It will take him forever and a day to do it. You can't just go and do it. Look, we're sort of running out of time. I want to play something else. I mean, and it's all, again, tied up with censorship, tied up with the disinformation or misinformation, which is from the government, not telling people. I'll just play this sound grab, and it's just a couple of Korean boys, and they're gamers, and they're just talking away in the living room, and then have a listen. It's a little bit disturbing. Okay, that was one of the obviously he'd been jabbed, and young kid went chatting away, had a heart attack and died. That was it. And government and the medical fraternity have got an enormous amount to answer to, because if they had released information that was true and correct and not misleading, and if they had told the poor kid what might happen, he could very well be here. But he was being in South Korea. He was probably mandated to take the vaccine, and he had myocarditis, I believe, and he's gone. It's just terrible, isn't it?
Well, there's a doctor in Dr. Fukushima from Kyoto in Japan. Is publicly on they filmed it, barraging his health minister and saying, you're ignoring science. It's a disaster. You spend billions on the vaccine and force people to inject it. Due to the vaccine, natural immunity has been suppressed. So it's they're opening the door to all these other viruses, as well as the damage they're doing to the heart. And they're like, that's simply answered what they're doing to the heart now. They've figured it out. These spikes are getting into the cells of the heart, and our natural killer cells are just cleaning up the mess. And therefore, those cells are dying or infected, so they clean them up. No wonder you've got inflammation. No wonder your heart muscles don't grow back. So they've created a situation directly from this, and that's why those young men in particular
because they've got testosterone. That seems to be the underlying, exacerbating factor that they can identify young men between 15 and 39 compared to young women. They're having their own issues, but that seems to be...
But then, John, you can see more lockdowns coming. And in fact, I'm going to play something now, which it's something that I would relate to if I was locked down, and you would relate to, because imagine being locked down in China for all this time. This is basically what they'd be singing.
The days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind. They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha. To the funny farm where life is beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats. And they're coming to take me away, ha-ha.
So, John, that'll be you and I, because they will be coming to take us away. John, if they want to find out more about you, how would they do that?
Crypto John 3, spelt with a K. Thanks, mate.
And you'll be there with your rocks in case they come to try and take you away. But they will.
Oh, it'll be blood. There'll be blood involved. They try to take me away.
You watch Dan Andrews, the man with those psychedelic eyes going round and round and round. He'll be sending the police along with the other state premiers to take all their citizens away that are truly a danger to their power, to the states they rule with an iron fist. Coming up next, Jason Q, Citizen. This is TNT Radio.